Welcome into another episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, the first 4 months of 2022 have seen a lot of upward pressure in some commodity markets, especially corn. Mike Zuzulo, president of Global Commodity Analytics, says supply chain issues likely aren't one of the reasons behind the sharp rise in the corn market.
I would say not at the raw material or the corn supply chain level from getting it from, say, the United States or Brazil over to China or over into Europe. I think it's more of the refined products that are finding difficulty on the supply chain, and then the latter parts of the supply chain, whether it's a feed type material that goes into the livestock industry or something like that, that you run into the supply chain issues. I think it's the supply chain that's down the line more than anything.
He says there are a lot of negative demand features in place in the markets.
The trade just can't get a bearing on what the supply is. So they don't know if the demand is being rationed aggressively enough at this point, because they don't know if the supply has stopped going down yet. What I mean by that is the avian influenza, that high path avian influenza, it's in 20 some states at this point in the United States. We've got a hog herd that is shrinking as of the March hogs and pigs report on the quarterly numbers. We've got a cattle supply and a cattle herd that is seeing a drop almost weekly of 1 to 3 pounds on a dressed basis. And I think we're only about 4 or 5 pounds above where we were a year ago. And this is in the beginning of what could be one of the worst droughts in cattle country.
Zuzulo talks about the possibility that the U.S. might have to ration exports if supply side challenges continue.
In terms of food, I don't think that's going to be necessary. I mean, obviously, Mother Nature is going to dictate that. And we are seeing by these big drops. I mean, we lost 8 million barrels of crude oil this past week. It wasn't because our demand is so strong. It was 3 times bigger drop than what the trade was expecting because we were exporting it out the door. So if we can't bring up the rig counts here in the United States and start producing more domestically to meet both our domestic needs and also the Ukrainians' needs, then we do need to start thinking about rationing and export issues like that. So I think this is something that will have to be discussed within the next 3 to 6 months if this war expands, if this conflict gets any bigger than it already is.
Zuzulo also says it's going to be hard to predict what's ahead in the commodity and energy markets for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it will be. And I think I'm going to stick with what I've been talking about for probably 6 months now, and that is because this is a supply cost push, weather induced inflationary move, and even the war in Ukraine is more supply-led than it is demand-led, I still feel as though that the first half of the calendar year of 2022 is the best time for grain hedgers to get their hedges in place. And yes, I do think they need hedges in place because of the fact that it's not demand-led, and that we are, I think, on track for a recession, a higher probability, greater than 50% by the fourth quarter of this year.
Zuzulo also mentions that livestock and poultry producers will see a better opportunity to hedge for better profits in the second half of this year. High grain prices will likely pull down livestock weights, and the highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreak will cut down on the nation's poultry flocks. Now, along with many of the upward pressures in the commodity markets during the first 4 months of 2022, the war in Ukraine has been a big issue. And Zuzulo said the war in Ukraine could potentially impact the markets for years to come, but that impact is uncertain.
Well, I think it depends on who wins. I mean, this is where it goes back to how big does the war get? Does NATO get involved because it goes from 2 countries who are being supported by a lot of countries, or does this expand into a NATO and China and Syria and Iran conflict where it's more regional, and therefore then it could bloom or blossom into almost a full-scale world war? I think that is something that the trade is starting to consider, and I think they should.
Zuzulo was concerned about the wheat and energy markets as well.
When we saw the weekly stocks of distillate fuels here in the United States come out from the Department of Energy, our distillate, which is mainly heating oil and diesel fuel, our distillate inventories are the lowest since 2008. And so all of a sudden, we have a situation where the wheat market is contending with a situation very similar to 2008 in terms of drought potential, knocking down the yields and the production. And then all of a sudden, we have the energy sector here in the United States looking a lot more like 2008. If you throw on top of that the Russia-Ukraine issue, then yes, you could have something that last for quite some time, and it could be years even, depending on how much this dismantles globalization. And I think that's a real possibility.
Again, that's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is making some changes to the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASDE, report coming up on May 12th. One of the changes will be the sugar table, but there's no need to worry. Robert Johansson, Associate Director of Economics and Policy Analysis for the American Sugar Alliance, says the new table will take out the line known as other.
And split that into its component pieces, which is Mexico and high-tier imports. So the actual number of lines will actually not change. You're losing one line and adding one line. But ultimately, all that information had been there earlier. They're just going to make it clearer and specify that here's the amount that we expect from Mexico and here's the amount we expect from high tier.
Johansson says the change by the USDA is primarily to make the tables clearer to the user. Another change will be the U.S. dairy supply and use table, which will remove CCC donations as a separate category and include all donations as part of domestic use. Sample tables are already available ahead of the WASDE report on the USDA WASDE website. CME Group last week announced the launch of Canadian wheat futures on June 13th, pending regulatory review. The contract offers market participants a new tool to directly manage exposure to the Canadian wheat market. Tim Andreessen, Managing Director of Agricultural Products at CME Group, says, quote, Canada is the world's second largest producer of spring wheat and is one of the world's top wheat exporters, making it an increasingly important region for our global clients, end quote. Other officials say the contract will bring great price transparency to the market. Canadian wheat futures will be cash settled and will closely track the shipment of grains from Vancouver, where the bulk of Canadian Western red spring wheat is exported. The Canadian wheat contract will be based on the Platts Canadian Western red spring wheat for number 2 CWRS 13.5% protein Vancouver daily price assessment. Canadian wheat futures will be listed by and subject to the rules of the Chicago Board of Trade. The Fertilizer Institute President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch thanked the Surface Transportation Board for holding a hearing last week on, quote, urgent issues in freight rail service. Rosenbusch says, quote, we appreciate the opportunity to provide testimony on how rail service issues are negatively impacting the cost and timely delivery of fertilizer inputs to farmers, end quote. TFI cited issues such as the implementation of precision scheduled railroading, a lack of competition, and a lack of structural and market-based incentives to be customer-oriented, leading to reduced rail service, high shipping rates, and poor cycle times. The STB also heard testimony from Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and Department of Agriculture Deputy Secretary Dr. Jule Bernard, both of whom mentioned the importance and challenges facing fertilizer shippers, as well as other agriculture groups such as the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Grain and Feed Association. Rosenbusch added, quote, these issues are felt broadly and have negative impacts and must be addressed through modern reforms, end quote. And that's going to do it for this episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great day.